This is episode 303 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, October 25, 2010.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iiNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McComb, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. Online privacy is becoming quite a hot topic, with the rise and rise of social networking, as well as the proliferation of new smart mobile phones. Smartphones aside, there is still plenty that needs to be said about protecting your identity online, as well as keeping your personal details close to your chest. There are many organisations that keep tabs on what you do online. Google and Facebook are just two. The problem is, it's the sites that don't tell you what they're up to or bury their privacy policies in the masses of fine print that raise the most cause for concern. If you're a Google user and have a Google account, your web search history is stored in your Google account. Sure, you have to be logged on to iGoogle or Gmail for it to be active, but the point is, this information is collected by default. In some countries, such as the US, default opt-in is allowed, unlike Australia, where it is forbidden. Here, we're lucky that regulators made it this way, but our laws don't apply outside Australia, so you must keep that in mind. To check just what data Google is storing about your online activity, log in to your account and click the View Data Stored with this Account link under Personal Settings. Facebook is another cause for concern, and probably more so than Google. Recently, the social network giant has come under increasing attack about privacy. In an effort to waylay concerns, Facebook has made an effort to simplify its privacy settings, but even then, the default options are still less than desirable. Facebook is notified whenever you visit one or more of millions of sites on the web that use Facebook Connect and has a history of leaking personally identifiable information to third parties. Facebook Connect is a type of data portability technology that enables users of the social networking site to connect their Facebook account with any partner website. Using Facebook Connect, members will be able to use their Facebook identity across the web, including profile photos, name, friends, groups, events, and more. It's the more part that sounds scary and should say date of birth and address. Not wanting to sound alarmist, if you have a nice, shiny new smartphone, the contacts database can become dynamic. Simply by linking a friend's contact to their Facebook account with the touch of an icon, your smartphone will automatically pull in all the personal information it can find from Facebook, including birthdays, street addresses, in fact, almost anything it can find. It's this level of prying that no one makes you aware of that is the most frightening. If a crook wants to steal your identity, he and she can find out your full name, address, and date of birth online, then keep an eye on your habits on your Facebook wall, well, it makes it pretty easy. Now, chances are, I'm preaching to the converted, but there are millions out there, young and old alike, that need to be made aware of protecting their identity in the online world. We don't leave our driver's license out on display for all the world to see when we're in a cafe, so why do the same online?
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
All eyes on Cupertino this week as Apple goes back to the Mac. Adam Turner travels north for a first-hand look at Nokia's new N8 offering. US television broadcasters block Google TV. Kaspersky website falls victim to a malware attack. New versions of Chrome and Firefox have been launched. And finally, Telstra shakes up the prepaid wireless broadband market yet again. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Telstra shares again plunge to a new record low. The NBN Co. reveals proposed interconnect locations. Kaspersky's antivirus website falls foul of a malware attack. Foxtel and Microsoft announce video on demand, and the Australian Crime Commission has misgivings about iPhone security. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Telstra shares have again plunged to a new record low after the federal government reintroduced a bill that would see structural separation of the telco. The previous low of $2.66 was surpassed on Wednesday last week when shares hit $2.58 as the government urged the opposition to support legislation that would separate Telstra's retail and wholesale businesses. Minister for Communications, Senator Stephen Conroy, said the bill needs to get through Parliament to allow the delivery of better services to Telstra's customers and to ensure a better system of regulation for the telecommunications industry. The opposition, which has blocked the bill once before, says it is yet to decide whether it will support the legislation on this occasion. Opposition communications spokesman Mr. Malcolm Turnbull says the NBN will continue to be built regardless of the coalition's stance. Telstra's chief executive, Mr. David Thodey, said that Telstra supported the bill and believed it would provide a clear perspective on the company's involvement in the NBN. He said the new legislation was in the best interests of Telstra shareholders and hoped the bill would be passed this year. Telecommunications analyst Mr. Paul Buddha said that it is in Telstra's interest to structurally separate its businesses so that it could fully profit from new opportunities that lay in the industry. Mr. Buddha also said that the NBN's uncertainty was a key factor worrying shareholders. Telstra shares closed on Friday last week at $2.63. In other NBN news, the proposed locations of over 200 interconnect points were announced last week. The NBN Co made the list public as part of a joint consultation on POIs, or Points of Interconnect, with the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. A POI is a place where two networks interconnect and exchange traffic, described by IT News as essentially the place where NBN Co will hand over traffic carried on its network to the Access Seekers or ISP's network. The locations are crucial to ISP profitability because they determine the cost to ISPs of connecting with the NBN. NBN Co was advocating a mixed or composite model where it would build 14 aggregation POIs in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth, and then locate up to 195 more POIs in or near areas it termed Connectivity Serving Areas, or CSAs. Responses to the NBN Co proposal from ISPs and industry stakeholders are due by the 8th of November. To other news this week, industry antivirus heavyweight Kaspersky has fallen foul of a malware attack which left visitors to its website in danger of being infected by bogus security software. Kaspersky Lab has admitted it was compromised in an attack on Sunday last week whereby hackers changed a download link to antivirus software that redirected users to sites loaded with malware. Victims were then encouraged to download fake infected antivirus software which had the potential to compromise security. In a statement, Kaspersky Lab said that the infected server was now secure and fully back online, and that Kaspersky products are available again for download. The company was also quick to reassure customers that no individual's details were compromised during the attack. Foxtel and Microsoft will make a package of pay TV channels available on their joint Foxtel on Xbox 360 service for less than $20 a month. Foxtel on Xbox 360 is a new partnership which allows owners of Microsoft's popular gaming console to access Foxtel over the internet direct to televisions. Foxtel's website says that the Foxtel on Xbox 360 will be accessible to all homes with an Xbox 360 and broadband internet. All a customer will need is, in addition to the Xbox 360 console, an Xbox Gold subscription and a Foxtel on Xbox 360 subscription. The starter package of 11 channels will cost less than $20 a month, while additional packages will offer entertainment, sports, and two tiers of movie content for an extra $10 a month per package. The service is expected to be available sometime in November. And the chief executive of the Australian Crime Commission has warned that our obsession with Apple's iPhone has opened up a whole new criminal industry specialising in the harvesting of personal information. Speaking in Melbourne at an Australian Institute of Criminology conference, Mr. John Lawler, who previously served for 29 years in the Australian Federal Police, told attendees that an overwhelming desire for instant services was now coming at the expense of security and safety. Mr. Lawler said the increasing ubiquity of Apple's iPhone meant that criminals are finding more opportunities to exploit the phone to intrude, steal, and con, and that even the desire for the phone itself was creating a burgeoning black market, with recent raids internationally aimed at breaking a fake iPhone distribution racket. Mr. Lawler quoted Director of the FBI, Mr. Robert Mueller, from a few years back, when he said the internet was enabling terrorists to now telecommute to work, when Mr. Mueller called for stricter data retention guidelines at a conference of international police chiefs. By Apple's own reckoning, more than 70% of Fortune 100 companies are now using or piloting the iPhone. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Turns out the biggest tech news this week has been financial news.
The US is keeping the currency artificially low because they need to stimulate their economy.
Dr. Ron, glad you could make it.
Thanks for having me.
There's an ice cream coming. Did you know?
All right then, as long as that's the case.
You lied to them.
Oh, I lied through my teeth, Andrew.
See, I've got to catch up with the animal kingdom that is...
We're running out of cats.
The three amigos have gone.
Don't forget that you got to test things properly before you release them.
What is this unlock thing you talk of?
This is the advantage of living in the cloud.
Every incident that they received a call to attend, they tweeted it.
A good start, but the big question is, who will buy these phones?
Now, let's make mention of what SSD means.
Windows Phone 7 cannot connect to a hidden Wi-Fi network. What sound would that
sort of like
on?
Like that sort of a noise.
It won't go in the promo. I was quite confident of that.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. In front of me, a panel of all sorts of interesting people here that are going to shed some light on some interesting topics this evening. From right to left, as I sit here in panel, Graham Callaghan joins us in the corner and pushing a few buttons. Obviously, something's not quite right to your liking there, Graham. There's now thumbs up. You can talk? You can if you like. It's radio.
Hello, Andrew.
Thank you. Centre and front, Dr. Ron, on time tonight too, I noticed, Dr. Ron.
Yes,
MasterChef meltdowns.
No MasterChef meltdowns. I'm in camera centre. You're going from camera right to camera left.
Absolutely.
But there is no camera this week, so it's a silly
great,
thing to say.
It?
It's a bit relaxing, but it's
good.
Unfortunate that JD's not here, however.
Oh, I think it's great that JD's not here, because Lena has come in to fill the gap. Hello, Lena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
She's brought her MacBook. See, look, it's got an Apple thingy on the front there, and the iPhone's here, so, you know, we're keeping up the law of averages. So thank you for coming in. And you can come and join us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au, as we get ever so close to Christmas now. It's getting real close.
Oh, don't say that.
2 months to go. Yay.
No.
I'm looking forward to holidays.
Something
resist.
Like 62 sleeps or something like that.
Oh, Lena, don't even think it. 62 sleeps. I don't want to know. We just got over Christmas. Just finished it.
Okay. Hey, I had an interesting...
I think a tree's still up, actually.
You leave me speechless. Your place, I'm not surprised. Just put it in the closet and fully up with all the lights on. Just wheel it out at the end of the year.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
Just got to remember to turn it off.
You need the storage space, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got two stories. He's got plenty.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I need more. Need more space. Need more space.
Interesting week. Got any Coro, Dr. Ron?
There's
then I'll tell you
Coro.
About my interesting shenanigans across the weekend, which threw me. But
have you had shenanigans?
Do you want me to tell you now before you go to Coro?
Tell us about the shenanigans.
You know, on a computer, you have a sleep button.
On
a PC.
I'm going to pistol whip the next person that says shenanigans. See, go on. Sorry, what?
What did you say? You're
going to
what? I have a sleep button on the top right-hand corner of my wireless keyboard and my word processing slash
yes,
email
it,
computer.
It says sleep, so you can put your computer into hibernate mode.
The problem is... If you put it into sleep and you've got no wake-up control setting in BIOS, it makes it very tricky to turn back on again.
I've never come across that problem before. Neither has Graham by the look on his face.
No, because a lot of us are used to Windows XP, where you very carefully disable sleep mode because it frequently doesn't work properly. So...
Well, yes, I was...
Sleep and hibernate in Windows 7 work really well.
Yeah, it works too well, actually.
It went to sleep, but you couldn't wake it up.
I couldn't wake it up. I wonder if your motherboard had
wonder if your motherboard had a special sleep button that was supposed to be connected on the case but wasn't or something.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so, because it was just the standard connect. But anyway, the moral of the story is, try it at home, guys. It's a bit of fun. Hit the sleep button, and if you can wake it up, then you've done well, because in BIOS, you've got to make sure you turn your keyboard on and your USB things on and your PS2s on. Go for wake up on LAN, all the other things. Just turn
it all on
in case you...
Have you tried it again since? Have you put it to sleep and then woken it up again?
No, not game.
Haven't been brave enough?
Not game.
How did you fix it?
It was one of those...
That's a good question.
It was a take the cover off with the manual, the computer manual, and it said to reset or restart your machine. You had to take a battery off and jumper it, so it sort of lost its memory, really. First birthday type sort of thing. Put the jumper back on, put the battery back in, boot it up, and away she went.
Oh, good.
It was good.
Don't try this at home. So we're trained professionals.
Happy ending, at least.
Oh yeah, yeah. It just happened at an inopportune time. So anyway, that was my Coro Dr. Ron.
GD's Facebook status during the week said.
Is he in Cape Canaveral at the moment?
Not yet. Not yet.
First
I now have.
Or something?
Yeah, he's logged into the chat room tonight as mod. Come and join us if you're listening live. Chat.techtalkradio.com.au is where we all are. Or if you're listening on the pod or on one of Australia's fine community stations, you can get
a lot of people in the chat tonight.
Techtalkradio.com.au. There are a lot of people.
Come join us.
Come and join us there. Also, I should just say before we start the Cairo, we're available on Stitcher. Now, we spoke about this a month or so ago, but it's been working very reliably.
Have
it's
you been
very
using
stable.
It?
I have been using it. It's a great service. If you go to Stitcher.com, you can. It's a service that combines RSS, or really simple syndication, which is how we distribute podcasts and other audio programs, with live streaming. So if you go to Stitcher.com, search for Tech Talk Radio. If you've got lots of bandwidth on your mobile device, you can listen to us via streaming from Stitcher.com every week. You don't have to download anything or update anything. We're just available there.
Hey, can you spool down it? Is it like iTunes? iView is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you can jump ahead.
Can, yeah.
Yeah, you can. You
it's
can
clever enough and it streams the advanced.
Absolutely. It knows. Yeah. It knows. So if the program goes for an hour and a half and you think, oh, I got up to about, got about an hour into it last time I was listening a few days ago, I want to pick up from where I left off, you can just drag the slider about an hour into the program. You can pick it up where you left off.
But it doesn't remember where you're up to.
It doesn't remember where you're up to, but I'm sure that they'll...
Maddie, come on.
Yeah, lift. Come on, son. But I'm sure it's an obvious thing to put into it as a feature, so I'm sure that they'll get to that when they can.
Very good.
GD's Facebook status says, I now have half ZVIP launch tickets for STS-133 Discovery. This is from the Causeway, much closer to the pad and a great view. Kennedy Space Centre, here I come. So our very own mod in the chat room is going.
When are we going for launch? It's very soon, isn't it?
It is. They're on track at the moment for the 1st of November, so yeah. Very, very soon.
But it's always, any time in the few days following their date they project, depending on weather and so on.
Correct. So this mission will be going to the International Space Station to transport the permanent multi-purpose module.
This is the last one, isn't it?
It's the last flight for Discovery. It's the 39th and final flight of Discovery.
Because it got a bit expensive for them, didn't it?
It's not the last shuttle flight overall.
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's the last Discovery.
One for this particular shuttle.
This particular shuttle.
How old is it? Do you know?
It is. It's been running since 1981.
Wow.
It's nearly 30 years.
Wow. That's good.
Is the Discovery the one that they built from parts?
I'm not
trying to remember
sure.
Which one. Because they lost Challenger.
They did.
And then they built one from all the spare parts and ground units.
I'm sure.
So they had all the Challenger bits and pieces and their service equipment and stuff, and so they used all that, did they? And obviously built new bits.
Yeah. And then they lost another one a bit later on. More recently, which one was it they lost? I'm trying to remember. It was the. It's gone out of my mind now.
Voyager?
I'm normally good at this.
Voyager? No, Voyager? I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, that was Star Trek.
Anyway.
I might have made that up.
Lena, stop making things up. We never do that on this program.
No.
GD will jump in the chat room shortly, Graham, because he is a space shuttle aficionado. He's always sending us valuable information on the current state of play with the space shuttle program. But that's very exciting. So we're going to have a Tech Talk Radio representative on the ground, tweeting, taking photos, twit-picking, live from the last ever Discovery launch.
Yeah.
It'll be very exciting.
Fantastic.
Carl, via the Tech Talk Radio contact form, says, hi, gents and lady. Yeah. He doesn't say lady, but he didn't know you were going to be on, Lena. So
nice
I'm
one,
sure
Carl.
The second disaster was the Columbia.
Columbia it was, yes. Hi, gents and lady. As a regular podcast listener and HDTV fan, I beg you all to use your power and influence to save HD free-to-air television in this country. It was bad enough that Channel 7 and 9 have wasted their HD channels, mate, on repeats of old SD and even 4:3 junk, he says. 4:3 being the aspect ratio.
Yep.
But then our glorious...
It's like a Volvo, boxy but good.
4:3 Volvo. Can you get 16:9 Volvos?
No. Well, that could be the station wagon, I guess, but no.
But then our glorious ABC HD was lost to 24-hour news. David Attenborough et al. Destined to a life in standard def.
Yeah, and no, I had to buy the Blu-rays because I couldn't watch it in standard def.
I now read with horror, says Carl in The Age, 21st of October, that James Packer has plans to wield his new power in Channel 10 to ditch One HD in favour of yet another news channel, Sky News. To me, sport is one area that excels in HD, as anyone with a passing interest in AFL, Formula One, the Tour de France or the Commonwealth Games can attest. It seems that very soon there will be no point in owning a TV capable of 720p or 1080p in Australia unless you're a regular Blu-ray viewer. What a sad day for decent television viewing that will be. Is it simply the case that people like Packer have no idea what they're doing and don't realise how fast they're pushing viewers towards internet downloads and streaming? Roll on, NBN, I say. Regards, Carl.
Yes, I sense your frustration there, Carl, but let me put the boot on the other foot. You should be making the stuff and you wheel it out in beautiful high definition and you see it in the edit suite and that's it.
No one ever sees it look that good again.
It's all downhill from walking out the door. So, but yes, it is. It's valid criticism. Adam Turner's been on about it across, and we all have actually, because it's when multi-channeling sort of started, the bean counters, I reckon, have worked out the fact that another channel, more revenue. Certainly, it sort of moves tarps across or averages your tarps across the whole network and the likes, but at the end of the day, apparently they're rating quite well, some of these channels and some of the programs that are on 72 and 73, which is Mate, and Gem, which is the old Channel 90 HD. But I don't know, sporting people, well, you know, look what happened to the AFL Grand Final the other weekend. We had a draw.
We played it twice.
Yeah, the first time it was in 3D and HD. Fantastic. Second time round, they couldn't care less. It was in 2D and low res on Channel 71 only because Mate had started. And I would have thought Mate would have been prime candidate for the footy, but no. Can't explain it. That's television for you. High definition? Well, yes. Blu-rays are the way to go. And as you say, if they're going to push everyone towards, you know, peer-to-peer stuff and the likes.
That's the only way to see the programs, you know, in their intended format. The producers are making these programs in very good, high-quality, high definition, 1080p quite often, superb sound. And it's all lost.
It is indeed.
We don't get to see it here unless you download it or wait until the Blu-ray comes out.
Now, Craig disagrees in the chat room. He says you can't go past those Dukes of Hazzard reruns.
Yeah, what did I see? I saw something really bizarre on Mate the other day, which was, I think it was when the footy was on, MacGyver.
Yes.
4x3. Old 16 mil film transfer with cinch marks, all the crackly stuff.
And look,
looked fantastic in HD.
I don't have a problem with those things being on the telly. I mean, they're great old shows, and there's no reason why they couldn't get another run. But to do it at the expense of the major programs, which are all made in high definition, and in Australia you can't see any of those mainstream programs in high definition. It's just...
frustrating.
Very frustrating, yes.
Dr. Ron?
And former TikTok radio panellist and now US correspondent Mark Diggins. Says via email.
He said he'd only be gone a year and it's three now.
I know. What's he doing? Come on, Mark.
Come on, the seat's still here, Mark.
Hi, Ron. Just FYI, says Mark.
I like
it when he sends me just FYI. Sue today. Sue is Mark's good lady wife.
Mrs. Mark.
Yes, Mrs. Mark. Got a message on her phone that she will be getting Froyo in the next 2 weeks. There is still hope for your G1. Now, I think Sue's got an older Android phone. Now, Mark there is talking about over-the-air updates or OTA updates. Which is where the upgrade is pushed out to you over the phone network. So he's telling me
what you're talking about are versions of the Android phone operating system.
Correct. That's
so
right.
So Froyo is version 2.2.
Wait for ice cream.
Currently the current version.
Ice cream's coming.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yum.
Mark also says, separately, the Nexus One is no longer available to consumers, but is available to Android developers. Not seriously, but I'm thinking about getting the AT&T version of the Nexus One for returning to Oz. The one I have will work on 3 with 3G, but Edge with all others. The AT&T version would work with Telstra on Next G. Cost is same as before at $530, but if I had to become a developer, it would cost another $25. Might be even cheaper with the way the Australian dollar is going. Cheers, Mark.
Yeah, parity. Well, let me just do a price check on
price check.
Price check on tab 3. Just talk amongst yourself for a minute.
Price check on tab 3. You're out of control.
And one Australian dollar buys.
Hang on, I've got to refresh now. I had it up there before. I think at the moment we're looking at 99.54.
It's pretty close.
99.54. So, you know, there's hope yet, Mark. If it hits parity for longer than 7 seconds, come home. We're friendly over here.
Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is our address.
around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, that you are. Welcome back to the show. Interesting things that have been happening in this week, I guess. Let's get to a couple of them off the top of my... Sorry, just pushing a mute button there.
I saw that Sony retired the cassette Walkman.
That's some would say about time. Some would say, what's a Walkman? Some would say, what's a cassette?
Well, apropos to our discussion last week...
Can you answer all three, please?
Yeah, I can, and I will. Now, I unfortunately made a mistake on the fly last week, and I said that I used to have old Coles or Woolworth cassettes or something, but...
Did you cop flack? I saw a tweet and stuff like that.
I found one, and it wasn't Coles or Woolworths, it was Target. So that's much better. That's much higher quality. Graham's...
The sad thing is he's brought it into the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't show you on the webcam. Because I'm holding it up to where the webcam would be, but there is
no webcam there.
But it's a Target audio cassette, and it's high quality. Oh, no, it's not. It's high output, low noise. So that's quite lucky.
So you can now no longer play that on anything? Or have you got something to play it on?
I have got something to play it on, but I didn't bother.
It's probably a computer game that you had for your TRS-80.
It could be.
We did that last week. We reminisced, but this week we're banning the cassette. Or Sony are.
Sony has retired the Walkman.
I didn't know you could buy them still. That's amazing.
It's phased out, according to Digital Life, in theage.com.au today. Obviously, Sony retired the floppy disk some time ago in March. It's now halted manufacturing and distribution of the cassette Walkman.
Do you mean floppy disk or you mean mini disk?
It says retiring the floppy disk.
Hmm. The 3.5-inch thingy.
Yeah, but they did retire the mini disk as well, didn't they?
All right, well done, Sony. Keeping up with the Joneses there. Compact disc is next. They'll have that in their sights very shortly. Then they'll move to flash cards, I guess, won't they? So Sony actually have a flash device yet? They probably do. I'm just not aware of it.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
Everyone does seem to these days. All right, in other news this week, just...
Walkman MP3, portable audio, Sony Australia. There you go.
Today, Netcom announced the launch of their 200 megabit per second power line adapters with an AC pass-through. What's a 200 megabit power line pass-through adapter, you might ask? Well, it lets you get internet across your power lines between one room to another without having to run Cat5 cable and things like that.
That old chestnut.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a machine for generating radio interference on power lines.
Here we go. I did say to the
driving your neighbours around the twist.
Yes, exactly.
If they happen to be interested in radio of any kind.
Very interesting to get these and see what Netcom have actually done. But it apparently lets you get up to 200 megabits per second around the house. Ideal for connecting PCs, TV, gaming consoles, Blu-ray players, TiVos and other networks. They're actually offering it through... Let me go to the press release. It was through Foxtel they're doing a bit of a gig with at the moment as well. And they're going to supply Foxtel subscribers with the latest in-home networking power line technology. So... if you're a Foxtel user and you've signed up to a supply agreement to ensure Foxtel's subscriber base will be amongst the first to benefit from this November release of this little device. Now, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when they start rolling out. I'm not familiar with other technology that's out there at the moment because a lot of it's been sort of given grief because of the potential power line noise. If you're in Melbourne, you've probably heard of driving past a tram and not being able to use AM radio at the time you drive past a tram. I can't think of any other examples that would be even remotely close to that in any other states of Australia unless you live next door to a substation or something like that. But potentially, you might find your AM radio listening a little bit tricky, but it'd be good to try these out. If someone gets hold of them, that's a challenge to all the Tech Talk Radio people out there. If you want to try one of these or you're a Foxtel subscriber and you go for this in November, have a bit of a play. Let us know how they go. But in theory, it's a good idea. It means you don't have to worry about a wireless network and you can use your the broadband over your in-house wiring and probably a nice network to the neighbourhood as well.
Mod in our chat room.
Can you get beyond your switchboard in your house?
He says, I have one of these power line thingies and it worked great. Works great. Practically no interference.
Excellent. Well, that's good.
From GD.
Well, maybe it's a storm in a teacup then, because I haven't had any experience with them. I hear lots of people going, oh, no, it's the end of the world as we know it. And there you go. There's a first-hand example. So,
Adam in the chat is quite rightly saying that we did have a big controversy on the show a while back about trying to deliver internet from ISPs to your
over
house
the power lines,
over power
yeah.
lines, which would generate massive amounts more interference than this just being local to your own house.
We can generate your own interference, can't you?
I'm still concerned that it would tend to be a noisy device in terms of radio.
I reckon it'd be great for playing games with your friends across the road, down the street. You could log on to your own network.
If you're on the same phase.
You have to make sure you're on the same phase. You have to, yeah, get out and see are you connected to red, white or blue.
So every third house down the street you'll be able
right,
to play
yeah,
games.
That's right.
Too bad if you're in an odd or an even number, really, isn't it? So there you go. Keep an eye out on those. They're the that's coming out very shortly, thanks to Netcom. They won't be the last, I suspect. There'll be more coming out, but...
those things have been around for quite a long while, really. This is just the latest incarnation of them.
Yeah.
I remember using those years ago, yeah.
You spelled about intercoms that worked right, over the
Yeah, I remember
line.
Those, yeah. Mm.
Thanks to Steph at Netcom for sending us that. That was good. Mm. There used to be those intercom-y things, didn't they? Yeah. Where you just plug them into the PowerPoint and they'd last... You could do a couple of houses down the street too and all that. That used to work really well.
Mm.
All right, Apple... Otherwise known as...
Yeah, we love Apple.
We do.
Do we? Oh. Yeah, we do.
I do.
Lena's got a baseball bat here threatening to beat anybody up who doesn't say nice things about Apple.
She said that we had Apple hates in the studio.
No, don't believe a word of it. Well, during the course of the week, Mr. Jobs, the CEO of the said company, had a bit of a shindig at Cupertino and invited a few of his close friends around. And decided that they were going to have a bit of a back-to-the-Mac conference because Apple was being, losing its identity when it came to desktop computing. Apparently, it was all iPhones and iPads and iGadgets and things like that. But no, there's still computers behind the big juggernaut that would otherwise normally throw
people forget about
phones
the Mac.
At us.
People forgot
well,
about the Mac.
Well, we've gone back to the Mac. Now, on October the 20th...
It was a big day.
It was. I wasn't up at that. Actually, it was. I tweeted. I couldn't sleep that night. I was restless. So I thought I'd...
What, waiting for these announcements?
No. I just, by chance, was laying in bed and turned the phone on at 4 in the morning to check what was happening in the world. And I think it was on for young and old. But anyway, I did see it when it came through. Sneak preview of OS X Lion. They've run out of cats. So this is the last cat. The Lion is coming out.
I saw that. They're still sticking with OS 10?
10.7.
Okay.
That's another point revision. So it's not
10.7. So they haven't gone to 11.
When you hit 11, you probably will move into all creatures.
Dogs.
Great and small, I reckon.
Dogs.
Yeah, it could be dogs.
Yeah.
Could be cows.
Hmm.
Could be fruit. I reckon it's fruit.
Do you?
Yeah. Because let's think of apples. There's all the different types of variations. You've got your Golden Deliciouses, your Fujis. Yeah, there's just a... There you go. You heard it here.
But you've got your gingerbreads and your Froyos and all that. They're probably going to want to stay away from food.
Well...
I think, won't they?
Who knows? Maybe.
They could cats are stronger.
They could do what Microsoft did, went back to numbers.
Yeah, they might.
So 10.7 is Lion, which is coming out fairly shortly. Mm-hmm. We saw the new, they came out with updated software for the iLife suite, which has been, this is numbers, iLife 11. And you'll find iPhoto apps, Garbage Band, iMovie, and all of the
Garage Apples. Band, Andrew.
Garage Band. What did I say?
Garbage Band.
He nearly got
I'm
that
sorry.
Through.
Nearly.
She's on the ball, isn't she? She's good.
That was
She's
pretty
good.
Freudian right
She's
there.
Good, yeah.
Subtle.
It's like water off a duck's back.
Really. Freudian's when you say one thing and mean her mother.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
no, good. Freudian slip.
Mm.
Hmm.
Sorry, I've yes. And there's a new Mac app store. What do you reckon of that? Is that going to be good? Like you can get your apps for your iPhone, you get your apps for your Mac, your desktop, your laptop.
I think it'll be good. It's apparently going to be integrated with Dashboard and Spaces and the like. So that I think that'd work really well, that you can sort of see the same screen that you see on your iPad on your, press your Dashboard button on your Mac and see the same thing. Could be quite handy.
It's got to be good. Seamless is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yep.
And the new MacBook Air, what did you think? Did you see it? Did you want one? They're very thin.
No, I don't want one.
They look like they break in the wind. They're that thin, but they're very sort of like sexy looking, very slim line, very,
very,
very Mac.
Very, very nice. Very Mac. And I don't think I'm its target market. Personally.
Who is its target market? Graphic designers?
I think people who travel a lot by air.
Yeah.
And who would like to do a lot of business work in the air because it fits in a Manila folder.
5 hours of battery life, that's not a long flight.
No, but if you're carrying one of those around and you're flying business, you've probably got a charger on your chair.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, even if you're flying in the cattle class, where I did on the way back from the United States, those new, A38, what do they call it? Yeah, the A380s.
Yep.
They got all the good things between the seats there. You can get LAN adapters in there as well.
And when they make when they make machines that small, though, they tend to start leaving things out, so it won't have a CD or DVD drive or anything like that.
It doesn't have a hard disk. It uses flash storage.
Right.
And
11.6 inches or 13 inches are the best screen wise.
If it hasn't got a hard disk, how come it's got such short battery life?
Interesting.
Hey, you know what? It sounds like a netbook.
Netbook. But netbooks aren't better at anything.
They're not good at anything, yeah. Apparently, they've gone back to the proprietary screws in the bottom of the MacBook Air as well that they used to do.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with the proprietary screws. Yes. What happened?
So you can't, what's that all about? You can't crack open your own computer and have a crack.
Some boffin will come along with a special hexy QWERTY key that
I think it's to stop
a hexy QWERTY key
that you hold in the left hand and turn clockwise instead of anti-clock. It's like putting the gas bottle on the Barbie, isn't it? You just got to get the right way.
Okay.
I think it's to stop people attaching third-party peripherals and stuff to it. So, for example, adding a stacking on the bottom of it, like a disk drive or something like that.
Because there's no drive. You have to be close proximity to a wireless device so you can connect into the machine in your room and use that one.
You could probably get a USB disk drive or something, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got USB ports, which I'm sure
just
it has.
Whack one of those on there.
It's also got instant on, so think iPad.
Mm. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if the previous MacBook Airs do that. I don't think they do.
I don't think they
do. No, it's a new innovation that we saw with the iPhone and the iPads. And
that's what Android was all about. That's what Google wanted to do. They wanted to prevent all the, booting up processes and stuff like that and get the user to the website and to the email quicker. So that's good. That's good.
And the Apple website says starting at $999.
Is that pricey?
I don't think it is pricey. I think that's pretty reasonable for what it is.
Is that Australian or US?
Yes.
It's the same.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Well, it's the Australian dollar and the US dollar.
Yes.
But it's probably $200 dearer here.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Yes.
Graham raises a very interesting point here. Despite the fact that we have almost the same currency at the moment, $9.99 in the US could translate to $1,200 Australian in Apple.
Yeah, because there's a middleman. The thing that, even after my rant last week, why is the iTunes store still the same? They pay 99 cents in the States. We pay $1.19 here, and we're at parity. How come? I don't know. Maybe it's a record company thing. Who knows? Maybe it's the deal that they've got there. So, yeah, all in all, the Mac is coming back.
What did I guess at, Graham? What was off the number I plucked off the top of my head?
You said about $200 more expensive.
Yeah.
And we've just pulled it up off the Australian Apple website and with the new MacBook Air now starting at just Australian $1,199 RRP, including GST.
All right. So buy it from America if you can. You'll save yourself $200.
So much for parity.
Yeah, there's a middleman. But that was the same with the iPad too. The one I bought over there and the one when I brought it back over here was just $200 difference.
That's right, yep.
Why, Apple? Why?
When it comes to petrol, it'll jump up 30 cents a litre instantly. But when it comes to going down it's a bit harder.
Yeah, right. $9.99 US.
All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We're just looking at price comparisons. It's not fair, is it, Graham?
It's exactly the same website. And $200 difference. It's probably made closer to Australia than it is to America. It's probably made just China. Over the road in Indonesia or somewhere, is it?
China.
China. Is it made in China?
Yep.
Okay.
Or Taiwan. Taiwan. I don't know how to say that word.
It's the extra travel distance that it does.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. It's got to go to the US and then come back.
It's got... But it's
sort of almost homing, really, isn't it?
Graham's having a moment.
He is. Tech Talk Radio. Graham grunting in the corner. Dr. Ron in the middle. And Lena down the very end there.
It's a bit like my giraffe noise. Yes.
Okay.
Can we talk about something else?
We'll get Darth Vader out in a minute. Go easy there. Hey, what, you really want a bit of Darth Vader? Here he is. He's here.
It's not even time for the gadget. There he is.
There he is.
It's not even time for the gadget yet.
That's what I said.
Hey, Mark Zuckerberg, do you know who he is?
Yes, I do. He's the founder of Facebook.
He is. There's been a film made about him.
Yeah, there has.
And it starts Thursday in Australian cinemas.
I thought that I saw it at the cinema in Paran on the weekend.
I reckon this is going to be a great boon to the fruit and veg industry. He'll be able to sell all their rotten fruit and veg to people who want to throw stuff at him on the screen.
Graham, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah?
I think that's a bit harsh. This film is made up of fact and fiction. They leave it up to you to work out which bit is which. Apparently there's girlfriends which are fiction, but a lot of it is also fact. I'm quite curious. I'm going in there with an open mind to see it.
Have you seen a pre-release yet or haven't seen it at all?
No. I'm like most people. Thursdays when it comes out, I might try and get the pics.
Yep.
We have a wet, rainy weekend or something like that fairly shortly. But, it's all to do with the rise of the biggest social networking site in the world. Here's a sneak.
Is that a question?
In the 16th email, you raised concerns about the site's functionality. Were you leading them on for 6 weeks?
No.
Then why didn't you raise any of these concerns before?
It's raining.
I'm sorry?
It just started raining.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
No.
Do you think I deserve it?
What?
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
I had to swear an oath before we began this deposition, and I don't want to perjure myself, so I have a legal obligation to say no.
Okay, no. You don't think I deserve your attention?
I think if your clients want to sit on my shoulders and call themselves tall, they have a right to give it a try, but there's no requirement that I enjoy sitting here listening to people lie. You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Facebook, where my colleagues and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing.
Ooh. Them's fighting words from Mr. Zuckerberg. Mm. Sounds like a good film, doesn't it?
Mm, does. Looking forward to seeing it.
If any of our Tech Talk Radio listeners get out there and see it during the course of Now and the Next Show, shoot us an email. Let us know what you think. Record a piece.
I'll wait for it to come out on video.
Oh, the critics are going nuts over it.
And then I won't watch it.
What are the critics saying, Lena?
It's being called this generation's Citizen Kane and The Godfather.
The Godfather? Yeah. I don't know about that.
It's got a great IMDb score as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going into it with open mind. Going to go and have a bit of a look.
Marky Mark in our chat room wants to see a film made about the rise and fall of the Commodore 64. I'd like to see that. I'd pay money to see that too.
You're kidding me.
And then cooler stuff came out at the end.
Yes, that's right. See, Andrew before said, talk about Facebook, it's the rise and rise of Facebook. It's not the rise and fall of Facebook. It hasn't fallen yet, has it?
Yeah. No, the phoenix is still growing.
Do you think it's...
No, it actually never rose from the ashes, really, did it?
No. Do you think it's going to reach critical mass at some point? It has to, doesn't it?
We'll soon see.
Look at MySpace. MySpace is dead and buried, isn't it?
Yeah, where did that
no
go?
No one it uses MySpace
faded
anymore.
Away, didn't
a lot
it?
Of musicians still use it, apparently.
Do they?
Mm.
And 13-year-old girls.
It was popular amongst school kids, wasn't it? It had that annoying feature where you could customise the background and you'd have, like, four different songs playing simultaneously when you opened a page.
Yes, which was very helpful and yes.
Yeah, it was really usable.
Yep.
Lydia Davis, our Tech Talk Radio correspondent in the US, sent a lovely piece over about Facebook and her concerns about the organisation for our 300th show, which was four shows ago. So you can get back and have a listen to that if you like. But
You can find all the old shows on the website at www.techtalkradio.com.au. You can go back and have a listen to that show.
Mm.
And you can find out what was on the shows at the forum.
Yes, you can.
Through
the show notes.
Through Dr. Ron's show notes.
Mm. Anyway, so that's the Social Network coming to a cinema very shortly, soon.
What's it rated?
I have no idea. I'd be saying at a guess.
PG-13 in the States.
So yeah, it'd be M15 plus probably.
It's got an 8.4 on IMDb. Which
what
is
about Rotten Tomatoes? Rotten Tomatoes is normally a fairly good indicative score of cinema, but anyway.
You're talking about the movie rating website.
I am.
Not the fruit Graham was referring to.
No, right, no. David Fincher is the director of that. Screenwriter is Aaron Sorkin, who I heard on ABC Radio the other week talking. He's never met Mark, but apparently the feedback has been okay from Mark when someone writes a movie about you or does a screenplay. But anyway, apparently some of the material, as I mentioned earlier, is fictional. And some of it is factual. So we'll wait and see. But anyway, Thursday, cinemas. And speaking of movies, hasn't there been a bit of a brouhaha in New Zealand about the little people that
the
are going to... The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah, the little tacker people, the hobbits and such things.
Apparently it's the end of New Zealand if we know it, if it doesn't get made in New Zealand. Hello, Hawke's Bay, if you're listening to us up there. But apparently, is he Sir Peter Jackson?
No.
Is he a knight?
No.
Maybe that was another film. But, it's on for young and old over there. But anyway, that's nothing to do with tech.
I think somebody at one of the rallies did call him Sir Peter Jackson, but I think it might have been
He probably gets his employees to call him that.
Very likely.
They could do. But anyway, no, he's... is he a part owner of Weta Productions, the people who made Avatar? Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He's got lots of tools in his toolkit, so he can dish up a good film. It'll probably be 4 hours, like most of those Lord of the...
That's the way I like it.
Do you? You settle in for an evening in front of the big screen and...
When it's Lord of the Rings, yes.
Oh, okay. So you're a big Lord of the Rings fan?
Definitely,
Helena?
Yep. Big.
What attracts you to it?
The escapism, I think. Getting lost in the little fantasy world. That's why I like games as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a game for this one as well, too, when it comes out.
Probably.
Anyway, let's just jump back. Sorry.
Have you read the books?
Half.
Half read? Have you read The Hobbit?
No.
You have to read The Hobbit. Hobbit's a great read. It's a great story.
Elroy in our chat says, Peter Jackson, poor Peter Jackson, has gone through hell to get this movie made, and the stupid unions kick him as soon as things start looking up.
Sydney Morning Herald has referred to him as Sir Peter Jackson.
I thought he was a sir. Oh. Are you going to apologise to me now?
And again, they've said Sir Peter's production company, Wingnut Films, and the Actors' Equity Union have been at loggerheads over pay deals for actors in the two-film prequel. Is it going to be two films? I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be the one. So they're going to just going to cut it in half and have Hobbit Part A, Hobbit Part B. That's interesting.
Martin Freeman's going to play Bilbo. Gee, they're funny in our chat, aren't they? Chat.techtalkradio.com.au if you'd like to see the things we can't read out on the air as it goes past.
But yes. Sir Peter Robert Jackson, KNZM.
What does that mean?
Knight's member of New Zealand or something?
Knight Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit.
That would be right.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
He's not an OBE or an Earl.
Apparently not.
If he was an Earl and an OBE, he'd be an earlobe.
Oh, dear.
Andrew, push play.
No, I'm not going to push play.
You look like you're really, really silly.
Just as you were.
You look like you're about to.
I was going to talk a little bit more about Facebook, but since you've...
Talk about FaceSpace. What else with FaceSpace do we need to address?
There's a new little gadget that's come out, if you're a Chrome user.
Yes.
That stops Facebook snooping on you whilst you're browsing and finding out where you've been, because as I alluded to in the opening of the show,
I think you've just gone a little bit too far in your description. Can I just have a gadget for Chrome that stops Facebook?
Yeah, just don't go to the URL. Go into your DNS server and reroute facebook.com to another site of your choice.
That's not a bad idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time someone sends me a sheep or something in my email, I can, yeah.
But anyway, Facebook is notified whenever you visit one or more of the million sites on the web that uses Facebook Connect. And it has a history, that is, Facebook has a history of leaking personally identifiable information to third parties. Now, this is what Lyd was going on about in our 300th show. Anyway, you can now turn off the flow of your data to them, which is really handy, through a lovely little Chrome extension. And if you search on Google Chrome extensions for the Facebook disconnect, you'll find a great little gadget there. So that might just help you stay a little bit more anonymous, a bit more private online, because let's face it, that's the companies that have the information and know where you are and what you do hold the keys. They'll throw all sorts of advertising at you, or even worse, you'll find yourself on mail lists that you can't get off, which is very annoying.
I've got a Facebook-esque website for this week.
Esque?
Yeah.
How esque?
Well, it's a bit esky. You can...
Stores the beers, does it?
Yeah, it links, it sort of connects into Facebook. Well, we'll talk about that in another hour or so.
Do you want me to push play now?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
If you've seen some of the stuff on YouTube, it looks a bit strange.
Whilst it is a high-def machine, it's only 720p.
Fraud-def.
Yeah, fraud-def. Yeah, exactly. Take note, Apple, HDMI output cable and carrying case.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
What you're describing is bloatware. The handset formerly known as the iPhone.
Entertaining.
I don't like spam.
Informative.
There are public VPN services.
Independent.
They've run up to, 400, 500?
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, you are indeed. Welcome back, everyone, to Tech Talk Radio. Did you know that the founder of AFACT, the Australian Federation Against Copyright, I think that's how you say it, theft, I forgot the T there for a moment, he resigned the other day. He's moved on.
Who did?
Man who used to run AFACT, or who established AFACT.
Yeah, what was his name?
Adrian Pekotic.
Okay.
If that's how you say his last name. He's leaving the company, which represents the rights of content owners, including all the major Hollywood studios. After working at Grundy Television, he was also founder of the Intellectual Property Awareness Foundation. Anyway, he's came back into the industry, apparently. So there you go. Moving from one place to the other. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Mm.
That was quite interesting. How's Mr. Kaspersky? He had a bit of a run for his money during the course of the week. That's a bit embarrassing for Eugene, isn't it?
Mr. Kaspersky had a bit
Eugene's
of a bad experience.
Eugene's been on our show.
Yeah, you spoke to him at length. You had a fantastic interview with him.
It was good. Should try and get him on again,
12 months ago, 18 months ago, something like that. Yeah, their websites got hacked.
Yeah, Russian security firm Kaspersky has fallen victim to the cyber criminals. I think this was the US site too, if I remember. The company's website, which sells antivirus software, has admitted it was compromised on an attack last Sunday. Hackers altered the Kaspersky website such that users trying to download the latest software were instead redirected to sites loaded with good things that you don't want on your computer.
Yeah, links to fake antivirus software, which was actually malware.
Oh, yeah.
Which would install software on your computer.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was typical Monty Python result after that. Your site's infected. No, 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 no. Yes.
Yeah. A bit.
Yes. Yeah. So, bad luck, Eugene, but I guess it happens to the best person. If it can happen to Eugene's site, it can happen to yours or anyone else who you would respect too. Telstra's got another shake-up in its prepaid wireless broadband too. This is an interesting thing. They're actually, without going into pricing details and stuff, good deals can be had, and this is prepaid, but they're moving to the per megabyte charge factor now as opposed to the per kilobyte charge. Now, I think that's a bit steep. For those of you who aren't too familiar with it, if you log on to your wireless broadband and check a 16 kilobit bit of mail, for example, and disconnect, you charge for a whole meg. Is that fair, Roger?
No, if it's fair, it's what they do, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess you get 10 gig on a memory stick for a month for $150. That's pretty good on XG. I'd go for it. Well worth considering.
An apology as well. It's Adrian Pakotic, Andrew.
Adrian, sorry?
He's a she, Adam's pointed out.
I beg your pardon. Yes,
that's all right.
I beg your pardon. Sorry, Adrian.
Adrian.
Oh, easily. No, isn't it? And, of course, Mr. Conroy. There's a lot of NBN gossip on at the moment. Nothing that's really technically related, so we're not going to go into it in great depth because it's all to do with, you know, is it going to work? Is it going to be financially viable? Is it going to, you know, the costs? Is it? And I find it very amazing that, you know, it's a big question. Like, how can you measure future benefit of a device such as the NBN without having, because these people like tangible, touchy-feely type sort of numbers to work with, and we're working in speculation here. But anyway, Mr. Conroy is reintroducing his Telstra split filter. So, and I think Telstra is sort of saying, well, wouldn't it be good if we can actually...
That's the legislation he's trying to introduce. He's tried once before and it got knocked on the head, but he's having another go.
Yeah.
And he's urged the opposition to support it, to get it through. It's in the best interests of everyone, he says. We need this.
Correct.
We need this. And Telstra shares plummeted to, what was it, $2.58, the lowest they've ever been again.
Well, there'll be a giveaway shortly. People, Telstra will pay you to have shares. Wouldn't that be interesting? Speaking of Telstra, is
it a good time to buy Telstra shares? I don't know. How much lower can they get?
I got a bill from Telstra the other day for 75 cents. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
Yes. It was the transaction fee on the credit card statement from the last transaction I made.
That's great.
I don't have any things with them at the moment, and nothing that's on a postpaid anyway.
I would have relished that opportunity to walk into a Telstra, into a T-Life shop,
give
with 75
pieces.
Cents change, saying, here you are, I'm paying my account and I want a receipt.
No, but you wouldn't be allowed to in the Telstra shop. No, you're not allowed to pay your bill in the Telstra shop.
Where do you pay your bill if you've got the cash in hand? And you want
Post office?
You can't.
Post office, is it?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
You can do gas and electric and everything in the post office.
Yeah.
That's handy.
Didn't they charge extra for paying your bill at the Telstra shop?
They charge extras for paying your bill, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can run into the red or you can pay your bill and we'll charge you.
You're a cynical bunch, aren't you,
Tom? Oh, it's true. It's what they do, I think.
It is what they do.
Lena's fitting in perfectly here to the panel. I think this is good. Akamai finds Aussie broadband speeds are improving. They do a quarterly report.
I thought they found that they weren't improving.
No, they weren't last quarter, but this quarter someone's lifted the game. It's because, I know, that maybe the NBN's starting to roll out. Maybe whom they have surveyed have found great satisfaction in it. So,
did you pay your Telstra bill? Sorry.
No, they said I didn't have to. They said they'll fix me up. They said fix us up on the next one. This is just for your information.
For your 75 cents, And they'll send you one of those every month for the next 100 years.
Will they?
Yeah.
You're speaking from experience there, Graham.
Oh, yeah. Good. It's very funny.
Oh dear. And the funny thing about it is too that you reckon they'd give you the discount and say we won't send you a bill for the next 2 months because it's going to cost you 60 cents a stamp. Oh, go work that out.
Akamai, state of the internet. Is that what we're talking about? Sorry.
Australia moved up two spots in the global speed stakes with the average speed for the second quarter up 9.6% on the past quarter to 2.9 megabits per second. Oh, that's fast.
It's pretty good. That's what I get at home. It is. It's on my ADSL 2 Plus service. I get 3 meg if I'm lucky.
So we've moved up from 67th to 65th or something, have we?
Something like that, yeah. You can actually check out these reports online if you want to go and have a bit of a look. And just before we get to the view from the couch, and then we're going to have a chat with Lena about PS3s and things like that.
Good.
This I found was really amazing. Victoria Police served an intervention on Facebook. Now, if you've seen this, there's a member of the force standing up there in his best saying, stop it, you're not allowed to do this, and hence intervening. But surely that's a first when law enforcement people can't catch people in real life, that you cop a virtual.
The first was in Australia, and there was one in New Zealand soon after it.
I think it was in Adelaide, the first one here.
Yeah, I think so. And it was trying to chase a dad that wouldn't pay his child support, I think.
Oh, I remember that.
And he was served with papers over Facebook because he couldn't be found by other means.
That's it. Sometimes to serve legal process, you need to physically hand pieces of paper to somebody.
That's
right.
And
say, there you are, you've been served, you have to go to court.
And you get your $5 to catch the tram.
Yeah, and get your conduct money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, because they couldn't catch up with someone, the court has obviously said to Victoria Police, you can do this electronically. You can do it if you know that the person is going to check their Facebook page. It's more likely that you can get in touch with them that way than by knocking on their front door.
Well, the man was a prolific Facebook user who allegedly threatened, bullied and harassed a former partner online. Police were approached by the victim in August but were unable to locate the accused by traditional means. And in what police believe to be an Australian first, the accused was served an interim intervention order, extract, explanation, contracts, and a video of leading senior constable Stuart Walton via the Facebook private message. I don't know how private it was because I think everybody's seen it. I think I saw it on The Age and a few other the local big newspapers and things like that. So yeah, all good. In a first, how about what else will Facebook be used for, Mr. Zuckerberg? You've done well helping keep law enforcement in the place. Anyway, during the course of the week, last week, there was a new phone, Nokia. Remember them?
Yes, yes. Graham still uses
a Nokia
handset.
Phone. Yep.
I never went back to Nokia after my one of my very early phones got wet and it had a drop of water on it and it failed to, it didn't want to work after
it
that.
It dissolved, disappeared.
Well, no, not that it did that. We're about to get some sound effects, but yes. Is this good, Graham? Should we wait for it? Should we pause, build the excitement? It's not going to work, is it?
No, it's not.
That's why it's a Nokia.
It's a Nokia.
It's waiting for Nokia ringtone.
Is that what we're doing, is it? Oh, okay, good. Anyway, Nokia have released, I don't know, it's a new device. It's called the N8. And you're really competing with the big boys these days, aren't you? The Apples, the Rims.
Yeah, the iPhones and the...
The Googles, the Androids.
I don't know about the Rim BlackBerry. I think that's a bit of a... But the yes.
Oh, really? Not a fan of the
Not Rim. A fan of the BlackBerry, no.
Okay.
This is going to compete with iPhones and Androids and maybe even... What are we supposed to call it? WinFo 7?
WinFo 7.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that in a bus stop coming here tonight to the station.
Did you? WinFo.
Not WinFo, but the big green, the phone.
The one that Adam was talking about last week.
Yeah, the one Dave brought in and showed us all around when he was here and all that sort of stuff recently. So, but yes, they're starting to market it in stores for Christmas.
Well, I've heard interesting things about this Nokia one, so I can't wait to hear what Adam's got to say about it.
You know, Adam jumped on a plane and went up because I was reading his wonderful tweets about Sydney as he was heading north.
Yes, he really enjoys his trips to Sydney.
You can always tell when Adam's heading north. The tweets are amazing. So, anyway, this week's View from the Couch, Adam's taking a bit of a look at the new Nokia N8.
Nokia has revamped the Symbian operating system to fight off iPhone and the Androids. Yet last week's Nokia N8 launch was still stuck in the old camera phone megapixel war. With the launch of Windows Phone 7 and the coming of Android 2.2 Froyo, smartphone watchers have been keen to see Nokia get back in the ring with the new Nokia N8. As the first device running Symbian 3, a touch-friendly revamp of the Symbian S60 5th edition operating system found on the N97, we were keen to see how it would stack up against Microsoft, Google, BlackBerry and Apple's offerings. The invite even promised insights into Nokia's aggressive renewal of its smartphone strategy and the company's long-term platform strategy. The heavyweight champion of the phone market was going to don the gloves and show us it could still go toe-to-toe with the young lions. Instead, we saw an aging champ that was found wanting at the smartphone weigh-in, outclassed by the competition but clinging to former glory. Question time at the launch turned into a sparring match when journos demanded to know more about Nokia's smartphone strategy, as promised in the invite, rather than the N8's 12-megapixel camera with Carl Zeiss optics and other multimedia features. The tension seemed to revolve around the definition of the term smartphone. Nokia parades the N8 as a smartphone, but everything about it screams multimedia phone. Nokia's own press release proclaims the N8 a smartphone and then goes on to describe it as the world's best camera phone. If you call Nokia's N8 a smartphone, you're immediately asking for comparisons to Apple iOS 4, Android 2.2, Windows Phone 7, and other such platforms. Platform is the key word here. The initial iPhone proved the smartphone is more about its ecosystem and functionality rather than its spec sheet. You're not going to win the smartphone war with more megapixels. Symbian 3 is a touch-friendly, Android-esque makeover, but in front of a room full of iPhone, Android, and Winmo users, Nokia's megapixel boasting scored few points. In fact, Nokia Australia Managing Director Emil Bark kept trying to convince the audience they'd certainly want an N8 once they saw it, and didn't help his cause. Nokia's Bark is convinced that N8's 12-megapixel camera, 720p video capture and HDMI output is a winning combination in the smartphone world, to the point where renowned photographer David LaChapelle was on hand to sing the phone's praises. Yet, compared to other smartphones, Symbian 3 is merely playing catch-up and there's still work to be done. The laundry list of new features includes pinch to zoom, flick to scroll, social networking, full multitasking, and multiple home screens with widget-style tiles. Sound familiar? Once you fire up the N8, you soon discover that the three-screen home screen implementation feels tacked on to the traditional S60 5th edition interface. Meanwhile, the awkward multi-touch browser is 12 months behind Android and years behind the iPhone. Even the fledgling Windows Phone 7 interface is a significant improvement on Symbian 3. I recently asked whether Windows Phone 7 was too little too late, but I'll be a little more generous with Symbian 3 because at least Nokia isn't completely abandoning its old user base and asking them to start afresh with a platform which can't match the features of its predecessor. Most Symbian S60 5th edition apps will run on Symbian 3, so you can draw on a wide range of apps in Nokia's Ovi App Store from day one. Symbian 3 has also retained Symbian S60 5th edition's advanced functionality such as tethering, cut and paste, FM radio and FM transmitter, and it's also improved the multitasking. In terms of specs, the N8 features a 3.5-inch 640x360 AMOLED display and supports 850, 900, 1700, 1900 and 2100 MHz networks, so you don't need to worry about do I get the Telstra version or do I get the Optus version. It also supports 802.11b, G and N. Nokia is even generous with pre-installed features such as turn-by-turn navigation and Lonely Planet guides. One disappointment is that those upgrading from older Nokia phones won't be able to transfer their apps across, as a purchased app is tied to a specific device. It's a limitation that iPhone and Android devotees are likely to pounce upon when denouncing Nokia's latest efforts. Pushing its multimedia credentials while offering a tacked-on multi-touch experience over the tired S60 5th edition interface, the Nokia N8 phone and the Symbian 3 operating system really come across as lightweights in the smartphone market. To further confuse things, Nokia's Bark tried to explain that Symbian 3 is actually Nokia's mid-range mobile operating system, sitting between the low-end S40 and the new high-end Linux-based MeeGo mobile computing platform. So Nokia is trying to tackle the smartphone market with a glorified camera phone, while conceding that it has smarter smartphones than the N8 around the corner. It seems Nokia 900 owners won't get a MeeGo update and are stuck with MeeMo, an awkward slate-style operating system which is barely usable as a phone. Now, Nokia's Bark didn't do a very good job of explaining the strategy on stage as the questions turned ugly, so I pulled him aside afterwards to get some clarification. Here's what he had to say.
Later this year, we'll have an announcement in MeeGo, and that's a true, what we call true mobile computing, which is even more advanced than smartphones itself. Now, of course, you can argue, what is a smartphone? But typically, it is a device which has an input facility, either touch or QWERTY, and where internet access is kind of central in the device.
Most people, if you say to them smartphone, they think the smartest kind of phone you can get, the top category. And so I think when you say, we've got this phone, which is a smartphone, and then the MeeGo above it, they're like, well, we don't understand where that fits. What's the MeeGo aimed at, and where does that fit in? Like, if I put an iPhone 4 or HTC Desire down to the right, give me your best shot. Put your best phone down next to them. What would you put down?
So that's today is the Symbian 3 platform, mm-hmm. which is the smartphone category. But we believe that moving forward, laptops and devices, phones, smartphones, going closer together.
Yeah.
And there will be actually a new category, which is what we call mobile computing,
Okay. Which
is actually even a step up from the smartphone business as we know it today.
So the Migo sounds it's almost like it's targeted almost at the netbook and the tablet market more than the smartphone market.
Yeah, so Migo is a platform which is actually can be used on tablets, can be used in car systems, can be used very widely. It's an open platform, and that's actually a step up from what we know as being a smartphone today.
So will Migo be used on phones as well?
No, not on phones as the definition of phones, but it will be, you know let's say the high-end smartphone market, if you will, another way of defining it. It's also the reason why we have a cooperation and do it together with Intel. Mm-hmm. Intel has, of course, a lot of experience with chips and chipsets in the PC and laptop business, and that's together with Intel we're creating the Migo platform.
And so what kind of devices are we likely to see first with Migo? Where do you see it going in the next 12 months?
Well, you see, you already mentioned some sort of a tablet, rich devices, like we see with keypads and touch. The E7, for instance, is not a Migo platform, but that form factor we may most likely to see going forward. So really like a laptop-alike experience. Can be a tablet and can also be rolled out in different other industries, as I said, in cars or even in homes.
So it seems Migo is designed more for tablet-like devices than smartphones, competing more with the likes of the Samsung Galaxy Tab and the iPad rather than the Samsung Galaxy S and the iPhone. I can see Bark's point, but as Dr. McCoy says, if you want to ride in the Kentucky Derby, you don't leave your prize stallion in the stable. Unfortunately for Nokia, it seems the prize stallion won't be ready to ride until next year. Meanwhile, Nokia isn't doing itself any favours by sprucing up its camera phone operating system to compete with serious cutting-edge smartphones. What Bark didn't mention is that Nokia has already revealed that it's abandoning Symbian on its N-series devices in favour of Migo. So the N8 is the last of the line, a dead end as Nokia stalls for time before Migo is ready to ride. Why would anyone want to buy into that? Getting back to the boxing metaphor, the Nokia N8 is trying to punch above its weight because it's declared itself a smartphone heavyweight when it's a middleweight at best. It's never going to land a knockout punch against rivals such as the iPhone and the Android army. Pushing the N8 as a smartphone just reinforces the impression that the Finnish giant is past its prime. Nokia would command more respect if the N8 dropped down into the camera phone division where it belongs and let Migo slug it out with the big boys.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And thank you very much, Adam Turner, for that very in-depth discussion there about the N8. Yes, maybe...
Not
maybe
entirely convincing.
There's a lot of... Yeah, anyway...
There's a lot of flack out on the internet about it. There are lots of people talking about its deficiencies of various kinds.
Well, I just think in a phone these days, if you've got to push three or four buttons to get to an email to an email rather than just one click or something like that on the screen, yeah, it's a bit of a worry. By the way, they're very confident about their product. Apparently, Nokia are laying off 1,800 staff. So, yeah. Which is
That doesn't speak well of the future, does it?
I think
it?
That's globally too. I'm not sure, but anyway, I think Symbian was a good operating system at its time. It's like MS-DOS. It's just it's disappearing now. We're heading into all these OSs that are touch user sensitive and friendly. I was actually listening to a guy on the radio tonight talking about from ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, and they were talking about the demise of telephone numbers, which isn't going to happen in the short term, let me tell you from the outset, but just that they're sort of saying that everyone will get their own identity. They'll no longer be a home phone as such. Everyone will have their own method of communications in the not too distant future. I thought it was quite interesting.
Mm.
So anyway, if government's
there's been a few
like
pushes
that.
In that direction.
Yeah, I guess so.
Haven't worked. Haven't anything that's really worked yet.
Mm.
Do you remember a while back Telstra had this service which was supposedly sort of the one number to rule them all?
Was it the 1-500 number or something? Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, 0500.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be able to... That was sort of your one number, and you could get you on your mobile or at work or at home or wherever you happen to be, the number would follow you around. It didn't work, of course.
But I think it was the price tag which turned people off,
Was. And the person ringing it never knew whether they were going to get charged for a mobile call or a landline call or whatever. It worked, but it was A, too complicated, and B, priced badly.
Well, it needed to be a 1-800 number, really, to entice people to use them.
Yeah, well, that would be too expensive for
the owner of the
service. All right, a 1-300 number then.
That'd still be, yeah.
Which is the cost of a local call, except from a mobile.
I think it worked with time of day processing, didn't it?
Yeah, you could set it to do time of day, or you could just change it manually.
Mm.
You could,
I'm at home now, so anyone who rings my 0500, what was it,
0500? 0500,
Send the calls through to my home number, or after between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m, send them through to my mobile, or...
Yeah, you could program up exactly those sorts of things.
In the United States this week, some news. I was talking to Lydia on the phone, as you do, whilst I was driving to work, and she was just picking the kids up at school, I think.
Hi, Lyd.
She was complaining about the fact that she lives in Palo Alto in California, in and around Middlefield Road area, and she told me that on the phone that they got a... You know how we have our phone system here that when there's a natural disaster, it rings you and tells you that, run. You know, how it does that?
It's a broadcast system. Yeah.
Well, apparently in the United States, the police use it quite frequently over there to actually inform citizens of goings on. And there was road closures all around her part of the world, 8 blocks, in fact. And their phone system pepped up and sprang into action and said that apparently the president was in town to go and have dinner with Marissa Mayer, who's the CEO of Google.
Right.
And apparently at the same time he went and had a chat to Steve, because they all live in the same area. They're all neighbours in Palo Alto. I've driven past there.
There's photos. There's photographic evidence.
But isn't that a good use of technology as opposed to just saying run, like we do here, you know, bad weather tomorrow, run. Here they do, oh, by the way, don't use this intersection in your block because there's something happening. I thought that was really quite good.
Yep. In the United States, they do a lot of this stuff and they're a lot more localized how they do their emergency management. They have fire departments and they have police forces and they have ambulance and emergency medical technicians and people. And they work on what we would call like a local council sort of
exactly,
size.
It's local government, so it's a city or that sort of an area, yeah.
So in the space of where you have like Victoria Police, for example, they would, in the United States there might be 20, 30, 50 police forces, and they all do their own thing, or they all cooperate with everyone around them. They have their own budgets and they've got their own schemes and their own plans.
Their own websites too, I hear.
Yeah, exactly. They can introduce their own emergency management systems like that, and they can do it quite well.
Such a different world, isn't it, compared to what we have here?
They operate very differently.
Also, briefly, Google and Mozilla are fixing browser flaws this week. They both released new versions and are plugging plenty of security holes along the way. It's amazing how these security holes just keep popping in. Obviously, people are working out more and more exploits and things like that, but I think today I noticed that my Firefox and I think my Google also did updates all by themselves, which is quite cute.
I don't seem to notice when my Google browser updates. It just seems to do it all and not even tell me about it.
Oh, maybe you've got the right settings set or something like
that. Yeah, and whenever I look, I seem to have the latest version, but I don't think I've ever seen it do an update.
So far Google has followed through with its promise and introduced the patches along with the new HTML5 parser and a file API, amongst other features. So there you go. If you're seeing, and Mozilla 3611 and 3514 are available. So you probably notice that if you're Firefox users, so do your updates and stay current. Television broadcasters in the United States are blocking Google TV. Surprise, surprise.
Is this the Mad Minute?
No.
Okay.
That's coming up next. Disney's ABC, NBC and Universal's ESPN act on a Google threat, apparently. Three of the biggest US television broadcasters have blocked the web-based versions of this show from Google's new web TV service, throwing a monkey wrench into the search company's plans to expand from computers to the living room.
Right.
Now, I remember hearing Steve Jobs having a bit of a dig about why he hadn't gone into Apple TV. I think we played on the show a couple of weeks back, and he was saying that Google is about to learn the hard way too, so maybe this is it. Maybe this is Google TV getting a run for its money too. So it's all happening in the United States. Representatives from Walt Disney, the NBC Universal, confirmed on Thursday that the company's blocked access to the broadcast TV shows available on their websites from Google TV. Disney owns ABC Network and cable TV business ESPN, which is the sporting network.
Yep.
So on for young and old over there. Now, just briefly too, Windows 7. We've all got it now.
Winfo 7 or Windows 7?
No, Windows 7. Don't confuse the issue.
We're talking about the PC operating, the politically correct operating system.
The operating system.
Yes.
Their sales, they've now sold over 240 million units. That's not bad for an operating system, is it?
Pretty good.
I wonder how many of them have used their downgrade rights and taken them down to Windows XP.
Graham, really?
Well, that's a fair question.
It is a fair question. I don't know. I'm quite liking 7. I think it's quite nice.
I can tell you that almost every corporate user is buying Windows 7 but using the downgrade rights. If you buy Windows 7 Pro Professional, you're entitled to install Windows XP Professional instead.
How long till the support runs out on XP, though?
Oh, they keep extending it, I think.
Yeah, they have kept extending it, and the security updates for XP will continue for quite some time yet.
Oh, good.
Microsoft were saying at one point that they would stop allowing the downgrade rights once Windows 7 Service Pack 1 came out. Mm-hmm. And I think the beta of Service Pack 1 is out at the moment. But I think they've since backed away from that. So,
well, I think
there's still a lot of Windows XP out there.
The need for 64-bit computing is becoming more and more predominant, I think, in this day and age too, with new apps and things coming out. A bit faster, works better, I think. The i7s work all right with it, the i5s, even. Well, anyway, let's not go there. Hey, I've got a Bravia at home. Dr. On, you haven't?
It's a Sony fancy
flat screen rubbing it in.
Television.
I appreciate that.
That's all right.
That's really good.
You must be going to get one very
I haven't either.
No, you haven't?
No, I haven't got a Bravia either, no. I'd like
have
one.
Have a parody party and buy yourself a Bravia.
Yeah. A what party?
Parody party.
Bravias are good. Graham and
yes.
Ron, they create disunity and create family feuds in the living room just because of the fact that you can have a lot of fun with them. When you connect them up to certain gadgets in the room, including a Windows 7 device, which we do this in the office for pumping music around the joint, but if you have a media player in Windows 7 and you create a playlist, you can see there's a little icon at the above which says Play 2.
Yeah.
And you can play your music or your video or whatever you've got in your playlist to a device.
Yeah.
So rather than you having to log onto the device and pull the media across to it and play it that way, all you need to do is just log on to your Windows 7 device and go Play 2. And you can, if you play music to it, it shows you the album artwork on the telly.
Yep.
And plays the music there too.
Or you can play a video to it and it'll show you the actual video.
It does indeed.
Video. Yeah.
And it's really good fun when someone else is watching the telly and you want to change the channel because the media streaming overwrites the TV channel.
So the remote control hasn't got all the power anymore.
No. So
it's not the talisman of power.
You can sit there and send stuff to your Bravia and to your WDTV Live.
Yeah, now I was really excited because when Windows 7 came out, Microsoft did a big demonstration of that feature and they showed how you can send it to a streaming device. And at their demo, they showed it streaming to a WDTV Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well at their demo. So that was good. I ran out and bought a WDTV Live and connected it up to my telly, connected my network connections and connected it to my Windows 7 PC.
So
Play 2.
Yeah.
Ba-bow. Didn't work.
Probably because the source material was on a network drive.
No.
Because it won't work across networks. You lose your hair over that. See, I haven't got much.
Good that for seems like an obvious thing to have working.
It does seem
so
like
so you're
it.
Controlling all the media that's on your network
you
from
have
any
to
device.
Get in and do really low level tweakies to do stuff like that. But
the media was on the same PC.
Maybe you had funny. Did you try a plain Jane AVI or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
No. Oh, okay. And went and hit the WDTV Live forums, and they were all saying, "Oh yeah, the Western Digital say this will be fixed in a future firmware update."
Oh. Okay, good. Well, anyway, it works well with the Bravia.
Oh, that's good.
And the Bravias play all sorts of other good things too, like the PlayStation 3s. And there's been all sorts of great little incentives for people to go and buy PlayStation 3s. And remember when the footy was on in 3D, go and buy your 40-inch and get a free PlayStation and 3D stuff and all that sort of bizzo.
Now, Lena, tell us why you've hung on to your PlayStation 3.
Many reasons, actually. Many
reasons.
As
opposed to the freebie that you got offered when you got a new television recently. Why did you keep the original one?
I kept my original 60 gig PlayStation 3 because it's the only backwards compatible one available in Australia.
What do you mean by backwards compatible?
I can play PlayStation 2 games on it.
Oh.
Mm.
But on a new PlayStation 3 you can't?
No.
That's all right. I haven't got any PlayStation 2 games.
Well, I have just quietly. I've got hundreds of thousands of them. And as Graham quite rightly pointed out earlier in the break, I've got the only PlayStation 2 in the universe that's not chipped.
What does chipped mean?
It means that it's modified so that you can make backups, like with your children.
I can send my five-year-old, she can shove potato crisps in it for you. Is that what you mean by chipped?
Yeah, exactly. This is the problem. You shove your potato crisps into the drive and it chips it, but it damages your original disc. So what you would do ordinarily, like with your DVDs and Blu-rays, go to your master bookshelf and you pull it down and you make a copy and you say, there you go, kids, there's a copy. You can trash that one again if you like.
Yeah. We're DVD-free in our house now.
It's all on the
Blu-ray
server.
Blu-ray-free, all on the server.
So I've got all these games that I can play on my PS2 for as long as my PS2 lasts, but I wasn't clever like Lena and I didn't get one which was backward compatible.
Can you still get them? Or are they?
You can scout eBay and hopefully find someone who is clueless to what they have in their hands. And if you look for a 60-gig PlayStation 3 on eBay, you might be able to find one.
Why did Sony do that? Or why, whoever it is, why did they make it? Is it because the new technology, they just wanted to draw a line in the sand and start again?
Maybe.
I suspect it had something to do with bringing the cost down, because to support the older games, it had to have the chip in it that the older games were written for.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So by leaving that chip out of later versions, they were able to keep the cost down. Now, that's my understanding of it.
Okay. I like that. I buy that logic. That's good.
Adam in our chat room wants to know, Lena, is yours hardware PS2 or software PS2?
I believe it's hardware. Mm. My PS2 hardware works on it, so I would say that means it would be hardware.
Oh, Adam might mean, does it have a physical chip in it which lets it read PS2, or is there some special software you loaded on it so it could read PS2?
I don't think I've loaded anything on there, so yeah, I'd say it would be hardware, just doing it on
its own. Hardware one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Have you watched Seven? What's Seven's thing?
Seven Plus.
Mm, on your on your PS3, not on your Bravia. Don't watch it on your Bravia. Ooh, bad.
Yeah, watch it. Not through the Bravia. I watch it through the PS3.
Yeah.
On the Bravia.
Yeah.
Yes. It's actually quite good. It's quite fast. A lot faster than Ivy can be sometimes. I find Ivy can be quite slow.
Yeah. Because I found that with my PS3, that if you're watching Ivy and you're on one of those ISPs which has free Ivy, it won't meter, which is great because our kids churn through 10 gig a month watching iView things. I don't know how they can watch the same cartoon over and over again, but they do. And, of course, if you watch it on your Bravia through the Bravia TV web browser, and I showed that to you when you were in the office the other day, Dr. Ron, it goes through a proxy server, and, of course, it's just bypassing your ISP's pipes, so you get pinged for it, which is an interesting trick. But, obviously, the Channel 7 one's not free anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I must admit that I was very disappointed with the Bravia web thing. I can't remember its exact name. I'm sure Adam will tell
me. It'll
have
a product name on it.
Yeah. Bravia TV. Anyway, the guys at the ABC went to a lot of hard work to make a fantastic graphical user interface for iView, and it's all lost on Bravia TV. Mm. So that's why I like the PS3, apart from games. I don't really use it that much for games.
Not many people do.
it's a really good media centre.
It's a great media centre. Yeah. It's really good.
I'm very happy with that. What else is news in PS3? Any good games lately?
Lately, there's been a few, but I've put together a little list of some must-haves. If you did get a
shopping
PS3,
list time?
Yeah. If you did get a PS3 with your new Bravia and you'd like to make the most out of it, not just as a media centre, but
not just put it on eBay.
Yeah, not just put it on
and
eBay.
It's Bravia Internet Video, according to Adam. Sorry, as you were.
Ah, right. One of the most popular PlayStation titles is Little Big Planet.
And write these down. Yep. Who's this for? That sounds like for a kiddies one, is it? Big Planet? No?
Well, it's sort of for everyone. It's a puzzle platformer. And the way it shines is that there's a lot of user-created content. So you can create little clothes and outfits and levels and things for your little sack boy, is called. He's a little plushy doll that sort of jumps up and down the platforms and does puzzles and things. And
Is it like a big puzzle play type sort of thing, is it?
It is, yeah, platformer. So sort of similar to your Marios and things, where they jump up on platforms and down and up and down and work out puzzles. And weren't as many puzzles in Mario, but yes. There's a sequel coming in January 2011, so you could probably pick up a cheap copy now. Okay.
And that's a must-have, is it?
Absolute must-have.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which is the market that's aimed at?
Everyone. I think it's more... It's definitely what they call a gateway game.
Yeah.
So anyone who doesn't... people who don't even play games can sit down and play it quite happily.
Now, on the PS3, you can go to the online shop. Can you buy it there, or do you have to go to the local video game shop and buy it from them?
You can probably buy it online. You can probably buy it online.
Because that's a good experience. Once you hand over your credit card, don't let your kids know the password, let me tell you.
I know you can buy a lot of the user-created content and stuff online, but you might have to buy the original as a hard copy. I'm not 100% sure on that.
So what else is news? What else is a must-have category?
A must-have, more must-haves are Uncharted and Uncharted 2.
What's that about?
That's a action-adventure third-person shooter where you play Nathan Drake. He's a treasure hunter and he flits about the world trying to find treasure.
Did you say third-person shooter?
Yes.
Okay.
As opposed to first-person, Wolfenstein-like. This is third-person. What, you're standing...
Showing his age, this.
You're standing... don't you start.
Instead of looking through...
Just a StarCraft.
That's it.
Instead of looking through the eyes of the person, you're sort of looking over their shoulder.
Okay, voyeurism at its best.
A little bit,
yeah. Okay, so what does he do? He uncharters water and goes and
He goes all over the world trying to find treasure and mystical things. And
okay, now what age group are we talking about here? Is this
probably a little bit older.
Yeah?
Probably not for under 15.
Yeah.
But it's very critically acclaimed.
Bit of blood, guts and gore in it? A bit of graphic violence or something like that? Is that why it's got that classification?
Probably not, no. Probably just more mature themes that you're dealing with.
Excellent. Yeah. I like mature themes.
The other two are Bioshock 1 and 2.
Bioshock, yeah? Yes. What's that about?
That sounds like a more adult, sort of less kiddie type one.
Definitely. It's a horror third-person shooter.
Ah.
Absolutely gorgeous to look at. Very stylized art style. And that's also got Bioshock... It's not called Bioshock 3 coming up soon. It's called Bioshock Infinite. And Bioshock 1 and 2 are set underwater.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the premise where there's an underwater city and all the scientists die and you've got to go in and find out what happened. Is that...
Pretty much.
Is that close?
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like a science fiction film.
It is.
And are there zombies?
Sorry?
Are there zombies?
No, somewhat. There's mutants.
Mutant zombies, okay. Yep.
But the third one will be set in the sky on a floating world.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be very interesting. The art styles of all the... Bioshock games are fantastic.
Game Taco Wall in our chat saying Flower is the best thing on PS3.
That
What's Flower?
That was my next one. Thanks, Tim. Jeez.
They know you well, don't they?
Lena knows who you are.
Yeah, yes,
Game
she
Taco
can hunt
Wall.
You down. So watch out, she'll
deal with you later.
First person shooter coming around.
Flower rocked the world a little bit. It's not so much about having a fun time, as a lot of games are, but more going on a bit of a journey and having a bit of an experience. You play the wind and you are blowing around some flower petals.
What?
Yeah, it sounds very obscure, but it's quite an emotional journey. The music has won awards and the whole thing's won massive critical acclaim. And it's so much fun. Not fun, but... You know, you're not standing there clapping.
Oh, not actual fun that you enjoy, no. Just.
It's a fun experience in terms of the emotions you go through and the satisfying experience you have, but you're not going to stand up jumping and saying woo.
Okay, I'm watching a video of it now and I'm not sure I understand.
What ages are we talking about for this one?
Flower's probably good for everyone, I think.
Good G one, is it?
Yeah, I'd say so. You might have to sit with them and explain how it all works because it is a bit abstract.
What sort of prices are we looking at for these sort of games? Are we talking, not going to empty the bank account, are they? Or are they like $30-ish or...?
Games are ridiculously expensive in
$70-ish,
Australia.
$70-ish, $80-ish?
Most of them are hovering around your $60 to $80 mark.
Yeah.
New releases will go about $100.
Why is that? Is this the same reason that we have with Apple and Adobe and things like that where there's a middleman somewhere and they have to get their kick?
I have no idea why games are more expensive in Australia than they are in other places.
Why can't you buy it? Well, go to Amazon. Everyone, the dollar's good now. Shop overseas.
As long as it's not region locked.
I didn't think games... Is there a problem?
Yep.
Really? Because the PlayStation I've got, I brought back from the United States. So I've got a US PlayStation. It plays everything.
Well, that's good. Then you can buy your games on Amazon.
Can I?
Yep.
But have you bought games here and then tried to play them in your console and they work okay?
Fine.
Okay. Might be region unlocked.
The guy at the shop said you can play this on anything. And he was right.
Yep. What Lena's saying might be an unlocked one.
Yeah. It was very fun. The first time I plugged the 240 volts into the 110 volt power lead, it came on. You don't want to let the smoke out of the components. Not good. But no, they've got universal power supplies. It's one thing I did learn about them.
That is good.
What else we got, Lena?
Some news with some upcoming stuff.
Yeah?
Fable 3 is out tomorrow.
Fable 3?
Yes.
What's Fable 3?
It's the third installment of the Fable franchise.
Of course.
Ask a silly question.
Exactly, yeah. The thing that I think is creating waves the most about Fable 3 is it's got an outstanding voice cast that's really going to bring a lot of people to games that don't normally game, I think.
You mean as in, Tom Hanks is going, life is like a box of chocolates, but lots of notable people doing the voices of the characters.
Yes, exactly like that. We've got Simon Pegg, Stephen Fry, Oscar winner Sir Ben Kingsley.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big cast for a game, isn't it?
John Cleese, Michael Fassbender.
Oh, I've got to get now.
Zoe Wanamaker.
What is the premise for Fable 3?
It's basically there's a tyrant has
a tyrant?
A tyrant of a king is now in power. You play his sibling, boy or a girl, depending on whichever one you choose.
Yep.
And it's your job to sort of lead a revolution to overthrow the king.
Oh, to overthrow your brother?
Yes.
Oh.
Because he's a bit of a nasty sort.
Oh, yes.
Mm. The graphics.
Brothers can be like that.
I saw that in a film recently with, what's his name? Two Australians in it.
Trying
to think of the name of the film. Anyway, sorry, a tyrant, mad king. Robin Hood, sorry, as you were. A similar sort of plot like that. You know, they had to get rid of the king. Anyway.
And dare I say it, a similar art style too. It's very sort of medieval.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the graphics look good. I'm just looking at a couple of screen grabs on Xbox.com. We're not talking about Xbox. We're talking about PS3s, but yeah, the game is there.
Well, this is an Xbox exclusive, so it works.
Ah. Yeah,
you can't play that on the PlayStation, that one.
Fable. Oh, okay, so we've gone from PS3s to...
Yep, just on general news now.
Your friend on the chat news. Doesn't like Fable. He says, boo Fable.
Boo Fable.
There's a bit of a common thought that Fable's a girl's game.
Really?
Yes, I disagree completely. But it's a lot of fun. I really like it. But it's not your your average beat 'em up that a lot of people salivate over.
So what else? Anything else? This is good. I'm getting my Christmas shopping list together here. What can I buy my 8-year-old?
Probably not Fable 3. Maybe if you're sitting with her.
No, you don't sit with 8-year-olds. They tell you to go away. Yeah. You should know that. Or you probably don't. Yours a bit young yet. But yes, they do. Mm. Go away, Daddy. I can do it.
There's a lot of good things coming up for Christmas. Okay. I might do a whole bit on that.
That'd be good. Mm. Can we know what to buy for our computer? And if you can buy them online, that's even better. What was that, Grant?
I'm still stuck on this wind one. I thought I was the yellow thing for
the
a while,
wind
but
one. Flower.
But now there's lots of different ones.
You're playing the wind. You're not playing the flower.
Oh, well, I'm not playing. I'm just watching a video of someone playing. I think, but. Yeah. Oh,
it doesn't
look
like much, but once you really get into it, it really is captivating. Really good.
The PS3s, I must admit, are really easy to get going.
It's making crop circles.
And especially with your Bravia radio.
It is making crop circles. It is.
See, you need webcam tonight, didn't you?
Sorry, Andrew.
But they're really easy to plug in and get going. I know that they have the DNLA, Digital Network Living Alliance, or words to that effect.
Digital Living Network Alliance.
That's it, DLNA.
Yep.
And so what that means is that when you want to turn on your home entertainment system, you just push the power button on your PS3 and the telly comes on and everything comes, and it just goes into ready-to-play type sort of mode.
So easy.
Which makes it very easy. So, and of course, the other good thing too with the modern-day Bravias and the big TV sets, you've quite often got four HDMI inputs, which means that you've got one for your Blu-ray, you've got one for your game console, you've got one for your video camera, and you've got one for... to fill up next time you get your next gadget, like your TiVo or something like that. Well, yeah, that's interesting. Have you heard much about the new Microsoft stuff, the Kinect? What's the rumor in the go? Because that was all the do-it-yourself, no console, no gaming device.
No controller.
Yeah, that's the word. Mm. No controller. You sit there and you whack things and be a tennis player with air guitar rules. It's going to be great.
I've heard, I don't know, I haven't checked whether this is quite up-to-date information, but last I heard, on launch, it wouldn't be available with the Australian accent. It's all voice activated. And so you say, Xbox, turn on. Xbox, play a movie. Xbox, you know, you're talking to your Xbox, tell it what to do. And it doesn't recognise Australians just yet.
I have that problem with Google at the moment. Their default Google voice is very non-Australian.
Mm.
But I had to get another accent. So that could be tricky.
It could be tricky. Hopefully they'll fix it before launch.
So you're going to have to use the on-off switch instead of telling it to turn on. No, voice.
I think you might have to put on an American accent to get it to work.
You have
work.
To say Xbox.
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 Xbox. Turn on. Like that.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
I want to watch a movie.
Yep.
So you reckon Kinect's going to take off?
I think it depends on the titles that come out for it. Like most consoles, it'll
have... Wasn't Halo coming out for it? Halo comes out for everything for Xbox, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if it'll work with... Motion control though.
Yeah. You need the ski jump ones where you sort of do the left and do the right.
Yeah.
And play tennis and things like that. Have you got a Wii?
Yes.
Where does that compare into the mix of things? Because the Wii was great because the only thing I really wanted the Wii because of the Marios, because I love Mario.
Mm.
She's nodding. Is that the only game you've got for the Wii?
Well, pretty much.
Apart from the workout thing and the bowling game and
the Wii Fit.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. It's not a lot of out there that's not Mario in terms of the Wii, but yeah.
Isn't there a new Mario out? I think I saw a television ad the other day for a new flavour of Mario. Or was I seeing
things?
There's
always a new Mario out.
Is there?
Yeah. They redo something weekly, it seems.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And for us PC gamers from way back, tell us about StarCraft.
Yep.
There's a lot of people be very excited to hear that there's a new version of StarCraft.
A lot of people, you mean you, Ron?
Me, yes. and my father.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. StarCraft 2's out and absolutely flourishing.
Good.
Is it an MMOG, a massively multiplayer online game, or is it a one-on-one type sort of thing?
Real-time strategy or turn-based strategy? No, real-time strategy, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It's
I think Warcraft in space.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Warcraft with spaceships.
Okay. That was StarCraft. We used to play StarCraft.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Point.
Yeah, no, I think I've got a disc at home. We must have played at one stage.
I think it was good fun. Yeah.
It was a bit like chess. It was one of those, it got you thinking type sort of things. And
strategy,
You had the war of, the fog of war, didn't you? And it was all black and you didn't know what your opponent was doing until you explored that area.
That's right. That was like a Blizzard sort of, they introduced that fog of war concept, I think, fairly early on with their games, with the early Warcraft versions.
I must admit, I'm very impressed with their opening scenes, their movies, sort of like attitude that they have. You know, you put the disc in and you sit back and
the
pump
cinematics.
Up the, yeah. Good fantastic. Mix and, you know, they set the scene with all sorts of, is that what they're doing? With a new one as well?
Yes, they've definitely done that. And we just recently had BlizzCon, which is a big conference. It was on last week.
BlizzCon.
Which is Blizzard, who make StarCraft, Diablo, and the Warcraft franchises. They played a lot of those cinematics and they definitely get the crowd going.
It's what they sell. It's what we do to get people to go to the cinema these days, isn't it?
And they announced for Diablo 3, which I'm hanging out for in a big way.
When's that coming out?
It doesn't have a...
No release date yet.
No. Hopefully I'll get one for Christmas.
Come on, Blizzard.
But, yeah, they've released the last character class that we were waiting on. It's the Demon Hunter, and she looks like she kicks some serious butt. So it's very exciting.
There's Demon Hunters. Excellent. All right, so that's it in the must-have games list that we've covered off this evening,
pretty much. Except one last thing.
Yeah.
A bit of a sad note, unfortunately. We've lost our largest independent developer.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
Chrome Studios has fallen.
And Chrome Studios obviously make games. Are they based in Melbourne?
Melbourne, Brisbane. They had Adelaide and they recently closed down.
Is this because either they didn't have a project to work on or the dollar got to them and they became non-competitive in a fairly competitive gaming world?
A bit of everything.
Yeah?
A bit of not many games doing excellently well.
Yeah.
And
be a tough market, I'd imagine.
The global financial crisis, I think, wouldn't help.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I thought people had turned to video gaming in their droves. Like, look at cinema at the moment. It's gone through the roof, I don't think. Dr. Ron saw a couple of chick flicks yesterday, didn't you?
But you can see a dollar for $8. You can see a movie for $8. You can't get a game for $8.
Maybe that's the thing.
One of these games, you can get games for $8. But these AAA titles are all about $100.
Wow. Lena, thank you very much for updating us in the game. This is good. I'm learning lots. I think gaming is good.
It is.
I need to keep up to Jones so that when the kids come home and say, I want this and I want that, I'll know what we're talking about.
Yep.
Dr. Ron, Oddspot, gadget, website of the week.
Coming up after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Suffering Suck Attack. This has to be the best technology show on the internet. Tech Talk Radio.
Dr. Ron, listening to the stream.
Furious.
Correct. No.
There's Tony Abbott, are you listening? Wireless is not the answer.
Wacko, I say.
Oh, did you download it?
I did.
I downloaded it too and I thought, what the?
It was brilliant until the power supply blew up.
What's the WAF like?
The WAF is very, very high. It has high WAF.
Entertaining.
He's had the little chip put in the back of his neck.
Informative.
I suppose I may as well just throw that one out.
Independent.
Yeah. I was watching you on Latitude.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm on a plane.
Can you hear me?
I'm on a plane.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool. Oh, this thing is amazing.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
you can put the you can put the Darth Vader USB hub away. That was last week, Andrew.
Sorry. I enjoyed that one. I want to get one of those.
Just wanted to get your money's worth out of that track. The iRobot Roomba 530 vacuum cleaning robot is an intelligent robot vacuum cleaner.
I'll give you the not, give me the Darth Vader USB hub any day.
It's not unlike myself, actually. The unit is a disc, a 34 centimeter in diameter disc. It's less than 9 centimeters high. It has a large contact sensing bumper, which is mounted on the front half of the unit, with an infrared sensor at its top front center. It has a carrying handle. Depending on the model, it may come between one and three virtual wall infrared transmitter units, so it can block off parts of the house where you don't want it to go. So it even detects dirtier areas and spends more time cleaning the areas that are dirty.
Really?
It can avoid.
How does it do that?
It can avoid stairs. It won't get caught on electrical cords or carpet tassels. It automatically returns to home base for recharging. It automatically adjusts to vacuum carpets or hard floors.
Oh, one of these. This sounds really good.
Yeah.
This is too good to be true.
$5.99.
Yeah.
And you can buy them from.
Does it have a money-back guarantee?
It's got a 12-month warranty, limited warranty. You can buy them from Roomba, roomba.com.au. Now, Adam, I'm just reading quickly in the chat. Okay, that's all right. He was looking at getting one. He was doing a write-up on one, but
it's
a watch this space. He hasn't finished exploring that one yet. But this is the gadget anyway, Andrew, the iRobot Roomba 530 vacuum cleaning robot.
Here it is, everybody, the world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
This is going to take some explaining. The website is Likify, LIKIFY.net, Likify.net.
Off you go, Graham. Quick, tap, tap, tap.
It looks like Likify.net, but it's not Likify, it's Likify. This is a simple service, which I think is very clever. It allows you to like pages on Facebook, and what this site does is it produces QR codes, so you can print QR codes onto real-life stuff. And the QR code contains a landing page link, a landing link to a like event on Facebook. So what you do is you get your free Likify code from Likify.
In the form of a QR code?
Yeah, print it on your posters, print it on your flyers, put it on your stickers, your T-shirts, whatever you want to do.
You can explain to everyone what a QR code is after this?
A QR code, yeah, it's one of those two-dimensional barcodes that contains information.
Those little square things with lots of random black and white dots in it.
That's it. So you publish your special QR code that you get from Likify. Smartphone users can walk up to the poster or your T-shirt and say, dude, what's that? That looks pretty cool. They can scan it with their Android or their iPod or their whatever.
Why do I need electronic assistance just to like something? I'm capable of liking things without electronic assistance.
It's about sharing.
About sharing and getting you to go to a particular website. So you scan the QR code and then that sends you to the landing page of the Facebook event. So I thought that was really quite a clever idea. It's currently in...
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
It's currently in beta. And Darth Vader will publish his own QR code too before the end of the program. That's the website, Andrew.
I think we'll have to take that CD off, Andrew.
Likify, LIKIFY.net.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sake, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Damo the Geek says a QR code's like a normal barcode on acid. So thanks,
thanks Damo,
in the chat room. The Odd Spot this week. Andrew, what happened to your toilet during the week at home? Never being a radio program to shy away from toilet humour. Did you? You had a minor plumbing.
This is one of the joys of having young children in the family. What they put down there beggars belief at times. So much to a point where the water has ceased to flow out of three of the northern end of the house plumbing arrangements, such as shower, wash basin, and toilet.
This one's for you. A Chinese man was stuck in the toilet last week trying to retrieve his mobile telephone. When we say he was trapped in the toilet, we don't mean he was locked in the bathroom. Yes, he was literally stuck with his arm in the porcelain pipe.
Oh, dear.
The poor gentleman from Jiangsu province in China.
If it wasn't an N8, wouldn't be worth it.
Was clearly in desperate need of his cell phone, as not even the typically repugnant idea of dunny diving was enough to prevent him from trying to chase the thing down. Emergency services rescued him with only minor cuts and bruises.
How did he ring the emergency services if he lost his mobile phone?
Graham, that's not clear.
Good question, Graham. I love these logical...
Neither is the make, model, or final disposition of the telephone. It's just unknown.
Can I just say one thing, Doctor? I never believe everything you read on the internet.
And that, Andrew, is the good news. That's our Odd Spot for this week.
Very good. And that is the end of Tech Talk Radio for this week. And yes, what have we got coming up? We've got seven shows to go before the end of the year. Next week we'll be back with more of all this wonderful stuff. Hopefully Justin will be in next week and he can tell us a little bit about what happened at the Mac thing that happened last week. Back to the Mac. Because he's
I think he must have been overcome with all the Mac news. He had the vapors when he was at home.
Oh, really?
Recovering.
Is that what it was?
Yes, from the all the excitement of the...
Retired to his fainting couch.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Lena. But he should be back with us next week.
Now, you've already put your note in for next week.
I'm sorry, yes. Oh, no. I'm not going to be here next week. I apologise. I jalopolized in advance, but I'm not going to be able to make it. So, Lena, pressure's on.
Oh,
I'm going to move over to this seat. You'll be in the number 2 centre camera position next to Graham.
Oh, sorry about that.
Who must be here.
Yep.
Andrew will be here. Hopefully Justin will be here too.
Absolutely.
Are we allowed to say there might be a special announcement next week?
Well, you want to start rumours, innuendo, it's off you go there.
No, well, just that maybe next week.
Maybe, as long as you preface everything with allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly, and we can't say what it is, but there might be a special announcement next week.
You fool. What have you done?
So
keep a date in your diary.
Good
apparently.
One to
keep a date in your diary. If you assume that the last Tech Talk Radio of the year is going to be in the first week of December, we might be doing something special for the last.
But
last
it's not official, and we're not allowed to say anything
allegedly. Yeah,
allegedly.
That's the word.
Allegedly.
All right, that's it for this week. Until the same time next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications, podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia that take the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-9818 2756 or visit our website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.